Hello and welcome to Atomic Radio Hour 365. Welcome to today's episode. Guys, it's actually happening for real this time. Welcome to the show. My name is Vince. Patreon in the description below. Check it out if you like the show. It's actually happening for real this time. If you've been following this show since the early days of this show, you will know that I've been talking about, for what feels like 6 or 7 years, It. And what It is the Fallout 3 remake remaster. It is finally happening. Finally. Kind of. Sort of. So, I like toys. I'm an adult. And I will spend my adult money however I please. I'll buy comic books and video games and toys. I will act like the little boy I once was with an unlimited wallet. Just as much money as I can throw at something. And we got something leaked from McFarlane. And I've shown it off before. I have Benny. I have the California Ranger. I have a T-60 and a Soul Survivor, female Soul Survivor. And McFarlane, who I think makes some of the best toys on the market at a consumer price, if $60 is considered the consumer price for the elite figures, whatever, if not more. An elite edition 7-inch Fallout 3 remastered number 13 T-45B Nuka Cola. Fallout 3 remastered is slowly becoming the worst kept secret in gaming. Same thing with New Vegas. It feels like everybody and their mother, except for consumers, know that these games are being worked on. Seems like they know these games are being made, but this got me excited for many reasons. One, Fallout 3 gets more merch. Fallout 3 gets more merch. You'll see me in just Fallout 3 stuff all the time. Like, that's just going to be a shirt I wear all the time. Fallout 3, Fallout 3, Fallout 3. Especially if it's just like a cover art photo. Like, I have a Fallout 1 shirt. Dope. Fallout 3 shirt. Crazy. Especially, like, and it's not even like I want anything crazy. Like, I just want it to be like a picture of all of the companions, or just Butch Deloria, Paul Hannon, and Wally Mack. That's it. Like, I want, but anyway, this is coming out. Apparently, McFarlane hasn't said anything. This got leaked from online retailers, but it seems like this might be the first real look into it. And if I remember correctly, from Toy News International, I'm reading this. This was posted by, I can never say anybody's names, on March 9th by J-C-O-C-H-R-A-N, Cochran. And I remember hearing somewhere that this was going to be in August. So maybe, I think we're going to get a surprise drop like we got with Oblivion. But if this is the best kept, or the worst kept secret in gaming for the past like 2.5 years since that Bethesda leak happened, this might be the first thing that we actually get before the game comes out to promote it. But we might actually get to see this at E3. And if we get to see this at E3, color me intrigued, man, because I very much will, I'll go nuts on that. I really hope that if they do an E3, like if we hear that Bethesda is going to have some sort of a presence at what is now E3, I call it E3 out of habit, but whatever it is now, Summer Games Fest or whatever, if we hear Bethesda is going to have some sort of a presence there, I would very much like to record my reaction for it, especially if we're going to be able to see something that is Fallout 3 related, be it, you know, I'm simple. Give me the original trailer with updated graphics. That's it. That's it. I don't need anything crazy. That is enough to satiate me until we see anything further. I don't want a trailer. I don't want any hype around it. I just want it to go, and here you are. Mainly because I kind of just want to take a day off of work. Just feel like, oh, you know, I'm just not, I need a mental day. And then I play Fallout 3 until my eyes bleed. But I am slowly, because of this, getting the reputation around work that I am the Fallout guy. I've had people who I've never spoken to me at work come up to me and be like, hey, you're the guy who likes Fallout, right? What'd you think of season 2? And I'm just like, I got a podcast. I've never done that. I very rarely have ever done that to anybody. Also, I got a notification on my phone earlier today from comicbook.com saying that a Fallout game was canceled at Xbox. This is, oh wow, a name I could read. This was posted on March 11th by Logan Moore. A new Fallout game has reportedly been scrapped behind the scenes at Xbox. According to games media veteran Jeff Gerstmann, a new Fallout project was in the works at a studio owned by Microsoft, but it is no longer happening. He didn't divulge which studio was working on the game at the time, nor did he say much about its nature. He just verified that he heard about its existence before stating that it'll likely never be released. quote, there is a Fallout thing in development at another Microsoft-owned studio that I think is no longer going to see the light of day, Gerstmann says. I have been saying on this show since we started the show 8 years ago, a Telltale-style game, I think, would do wonders in this universe, especially if you kind of confined it to a city, a location, a place that we're never going to see again in a show. There's something about that that I think could do numbers. I'll write it. Send me a check. I called most of the show. Not that this is about that. But we could have had more Fallout on our hands. I kind of like the idea of just a few people working on it, be it Bethesda proper, or if Bethesda made another studio where it's like Bethesda, and then they're like their Wastelanders studio, which is a handful of people that have worked on Skyrim and, or excuse me, Elder Scrolls and Fallout and Starfield, and they went to start a new coalition, and maybe Todd Howard is like an overseer on it, or not so much a director, but someone who has their hands in it, maybe a part of a board or something. Because you got to have a little touch of the Todd in your game, especially if they were going to make smaller. Like, imagine not quite game size, not quite DLC, but I feel like the way Bethesda's mindset around games is we would wind up just getting a game-sized game and not like a $40 experience or a $50 experience. Of here is a game that has an amount of detail and polish and additives to it. But also, you know, you only get to level 20. You only get to level 15, and then we can go from there. Maybe that'll get like a bonus add-on story. Maybe it'll have some extra crafting abilities or something. But just let it like slake our thirst a little bit for the franchise that we love so deeply. I want to get into this week's lore. Really fun lore that I really like. One of my favorite DLCs we get to talk about a little bit. Before I can do that, I have to thank some people. The names on screen, starting at the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. And last, but certainly not least, I have to thank Willie DeWitt. Thank you to Willie DeWitt. Because of the love and support that these fine fellows have given, the show can continue to grow and get bigger and better. And I appreciate you, and I love you. Again, these names on screen. Check out the Patreon, link in the description below. There's a bunch of tiers, a bunch of fun stuff. Next week, we will be back to live episodes. Next week, I promise you, I've already made the event in the Discord. Everything's been going on. I love you. I see you. So for this week's lore, I actually should have done it on something Fallout 3 related. I didn't. I wound up doing it on something New Vegas related. I already had it written, before all this news of more Fallout 3 stuff coming out. If you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout series, check out the Patreon, because usually I allow the Patreon to choose what the week's lore is, but I chose it this week, and this week I am bringing you the lore on Dog, or God, depending on where he is mentally, from Fallout New Vegas's DLC, Dead Money. Now, before we get into this, I want to preface this with I am not a doctor, okay? I'm not. I don't have a PhD. I have a full-time job, and I host a podcast on the internet about video games and other things that I'm into. I am not a doctor, and I will be talking about schizophrenia and multiple personality disorder. I do not have a PhD. I can barely spell PhD, but Dog, God, I'll be using them interchangeably throughout the entirety of this lore segment, is an elite mutant of the Master's army, the Unity. He's a Nightkin, a Mariposa military base mutant, one of the first strands of mutants, where the super mutants, depending on where they are, have a green texture to their skin. The Nightkin have a purple, bluish to their skin, and they prefer stealth. They don't like to be seen. They like the use of stealth boys to help them get around what they need to get around. Again, these are elite soldiers of the Master's army of the Unity. If you ask Marcus in Jacobstown about the Super Mutant Army, Marcus will say, long story, so here's the short version. The Master created the Super Mutants and the Nightkin. The Master thought he could unify everyone. No more differences, no more war. It didn't end well. The Nightkin are the apex of what the FEV could do. Like I said, these are elite soldiers in the army. Like previously mentioned, don't like being seen. They don't like being out in the open. They've developed an addiction to stealth boys, especially after the death of the master in 2162. The overindulgence of stealth boys has given them severe brain damage. They've developed paranoia, schizophrenia, multiple personality disorder. Do you remember what I said about me not being a doctor earlier in the episode? I just want you to remember that. I don't know exactly what these disabilities do to you. In the case of the Nightkin inside of the Repcon factory, he speaks to a Brahmin skull he calls Antler, and Antler tells him what to do, and he fully hears it and believes it. In the Unity, Dog, or God, was told that he was to obey fully. He was to believe the Unity. They were fighting for the unification of the Wasteland in that matter. And when Dog gets captured by Father Elijah in the Sierra Madre, it unlocks this part of his brain that was obedient the same way he was for the Master, for Father Elijah. The courier can ask, when speaking to God, why did you put the emphasis on the word Master before? This is a speech check, and if succeeded, God will say, the Master, Elijah, reminds Dog of someone from long ago, his leader, commander, commanders. The Master was a strong personality. Personalities, as well. Dog is slavish, was conditioned to serve the Master until death. The old man, Elijah, merely came along and opened the door in Dog's mind. Now Dog does whatever the old man wants. I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. I love these games. I've played these games. But when it comes to stuff like this, I like to check up on it every now and again. When you meet this character in game, you don't meet God. You don't meet the person who's going to talk to you in a civilized manner. You meet the brute. You meet the slave. You meet Dog. For years traveling the waste, Dog was just out there listening to people he shouldn't, doing things he shouldn't, and eating, and just was hungry. And what's crazy is he understands how gluttonous he is, and he understands that it's wrong. He just can't help himself. He needs to indulge in that. He needs to take part in the feeding. And I feel like I've kind of left this part out, and I apologize. Dog is a Nightkin, so he's a purple, bluish super mutant with Dog carved into his chest. He's got a bear trap on his arm. He's got bandages. He looks rough. He's got a chain around his neck. He doesn't have armor on. He's very bare bones. And speaking to Dog feels like he talks like this, and he's hungry and does not like being around people that are mean. And then you speak to, it's kind of like Cat Dog, if anybody remembers that old cartoon. God speaks eloquently. He speaks with thought, and then Dog just kind of barks. And like everybody else that a Father Elijah has captured, they have the slave collars on them. You can't fit a slave collar around a super mutant neck. So it turns out that Dog ate one inside of his tum-tum, inside of his intestines, is stuck as adhered a slave collar, a bit of a slave collar. The courier could say, how the hell did you, or whatever, eat one of those collars? And God will say, they detach when segmented. They look like nothing more than metallic rad scorpions. And if they're attached to neck flesh, warm red, Dog doesn't care what's on the body he's crushing in his hands. He'll mangle it, twist it, make it fit until he's full. Dog can't help himself. Hungry, greedy. And now the collar's inside, alive again, and we're trapped until it goes cold. I don't remember him ever saying an amount of time he has been there, and I did not read anything about it when I was writing down my notes. Dog, in a sense, is safety. Dog is comfort. Dog is giving up. Dog is everything that feels normal and natural and should feel normal and natural for somebody to just give up and go, I'm just going to do what's the easiest. God is who he was always trying to be, and mind you, This is a mutant who was dipped in the 2160s. You know, this is a guy who he had an entirely different life up until this point. It could have been, you know, it could have been a vault dweller. Probably wasn't. Could have been a regular waster. This could have been a guy with a family and prospects and hopes and dreams and aspirations, and then became part of the Unity and saw how strong and intelligent he had become and given up all of his past life. Another thing that I think is so interesting, and I wanted to bring up here in some point, in an altercation, a conversation between Dean Domino and God, Dean Domino go, I used to know a ventriloquist with more skill than you. you. At least he had the sense to know his own name without carving it into his chest. And God says, mirrors tell me my name when needed. And I have a name for you, several. Thief, coward, showman. Radiation couldn't kill the truth, could it? And in that, there's something about that that I loved in the way that's said. God needs the mirrors to show him who he is. I have written down in my notes here that when in an episode, in a psychiatric episode, which I, again, not a doctor, not a registered nurse, not a practitioner, a real one, yes, all those other things. I do not work in the medical field. I don't know if I'm using this terminology correct, but when he's in the middle of an episode, be it his schizophrenia or his multiple personality disorder, they don't really know what the other is doing. God doesn't know what dog is doing, and dog doesn't know what God is doing. They have ideas, and they can kind of like leave little hints or clues for the other. Like, it's very much implied that God woke up one day and there was just a bear trap on his hand. And he's like, oh, how did this get here? So I wonder if dog looks in a mirror, like is passing something, is at a lake getting a drink, and dog reads God back, because it's dog backwards, and goes, huh? And then God comes out. I want to know what this person's real name is too. The pain, the physical anguish that dog has gone through very much keeps God's voice at bay. In another conversation between Dean Domino and Dog, Dean Domino will say, why are you so carved up? That bear trap on your arm. Dog replies with, reminds me, keeps the voice out of my head. He can't talk when the pain is howling at me. So he's self-aware enough to know how to keep God's voice away from him. And so he doesn't transform out of that version of himself. Dog doesn't understand that him and God are the same thing. He doesn't understand that there are similarities between the two of them that are more than just the thing that takes over. God is aware of this. Dog thinks he's being punished by God throughout all of this. God sees Dog very much as a little brother figure, something he has to take care of, something he has to nurture, something he has to watch after, where Dog sees God as an authority figure and not much else. The courier, if passing a check while speaking to God, will say, you have multiple personality disorder. Some trauma caused this. And God will say, trauma? Yes, in a manner of speaking. Do you see his wounds covering his skin? The bear trap on my arm? He placed his own hand on it. The name he carved into his chest to remind him of who he is? He inflicts pain on himself to silence me when all I do is try to... He cuts, hurts, and tries to murder me out of him. He won't succeed. Just makes me angrier. Dog is a beast. We simply change cages. God could even say at a later point, I'm the voice of reason. I sleep sometimes, down in the basement, in the cage. Now that I'm awake, Dog goes back in the cage. Dog knows I'm here, but I can't do anything about it. I'm his conscience. Keep him tame. Keep him from hurting us, doing foolish things. I've been trapped in here for some time, and then you came along and let me out. When you first get to speak to God, it's a holotape that you play on your Pip-Boy out loud that just is God going, back in your cage, dog. God likes to think that he's the original, that's the personality that is the original Nightkin, the original person, the original super mutant, but he's not entirely sure. And he also feels like if he kills Elijah, that will kill the thing the dog wants to satisfy a master. Again, the dog is obedient. A slave obeys. And the dog wants to satisfy his master. And Elijah has become his master since the master has died. Now, depending on how the Madre ends when you do the heist, there's one of four outcomes. One is that Dog is dead, Dog is alive, and God is alive. Only Dog is alive, and only God is alive. Now, I don't normally do this, but because it's a DLC character, I'm going to just read what the endings are. So this is Dog is dead.
When Dog fell in the Sierra Madre Casino, two died as one. Dog died hungry, alone, frightened. The voice in his head died with him. Screaming, furious, enraged. But the voice was gone, and Dog was grateful. At least Dog was dead, and the voice needed to watch over him no more. In the moment before their lives ended, The wall between the two personalities fell. The two became silent as they saw the chain between them. Hunger and control are twin greeds, something Dog and his shadow had never realized.
In the second ending, if Dog is alive and God is also alive,
Dog forgot himself, as did the voice that raged within him. After their passing, a new voice spoke within the mutant shell. It was difficult for the voice to remember the two it once was. There was the beast, Dog, consumed by hunger, and the other in reverse, the one consumed by control. Both were driven by need for the other. The courier brought them together somehow, joined the two into one. All that happened at the Sierra Madre was a faint memory to the new personality, like a flickering light in the clouds of the mind. The new voice did not think of the courier again until the battle at the Divide reached his ears. The battle between the two couriers, beneath the torn skies and the old world flag, each bearing a message for the other. And the mutant prayed the courier that had saved him had been saved in return.
If only Dog is alive.
Dog, free of the voice inside his head and no longer waiting on the voice of the master, wandered back west. His hunger never ended. Often, small communities would suddenly vanish. They were assumed to have been hit by wasteland creatures and dragged away. Dogs, Brahmin, and humans alike.
And the fourth ending, if only God is alive.
Freed of both Dog and the one who held Dog's leash, the other voice resumed control. First the mind, then finally, the mutant shell. His first act was to tend to the scars on the body with careful hands, slowly healing all the scars, except the ragged name torn on his chest. He briefly thought of remaining at the Sierra Madre, but it was a monument built by humans, representing something he no longer needed. He began walking west, in search of others like him. As he did, he spoke of the courier who had set him free and allowed his life to begin again.
Dog and God are very, very interesting characters to me. I like that it's a Fallout 1 mutant, more or less. It's a Fallout 1 Nightkin. There's some fun things, some fun facts about him I'm just going to read real quick. The Dog model and the God model are two technically different models, and Dog is a tiny bit smaller. He's a 0.9 instead of a 1. For scale and for super mutants, and I wonder if that's just to make him seem weaker and smaller and more submissive. It seems that they both know, at least God knows about Father Elijah and what happened at Helios 1. Chris Avellone wrote Dog, God, and also wrote all of the main characters for Dead Money. I hope you've enjoyed this. This is one of my, I love Dead Money. It gets so much shit, and I think it's because it's just linear. I love Dead Money. Dead Money is my favorite Fallout DLC ever. It's my favorite Fallout DLC ever. That's all I can say about it, other than I haven't already said in this lore segment. I hope you've enjoyed this. This has been this week's lore. Hey, everybody, it's time for segment 3. Welcome. So I want to talk about my back. I brought it up briefly last time we spoke, and it's a reason why we didn't have the last episode, which I apologize that there wasn't an episode last week. I'm trying to get this one out on a Saturday. I hope I can do it. I don't see why I wouldn't. I don't really have plans this weekend other than to read comic books and catch up. So I'd really like to catch up. Editing and then reading and then maybe playing Hitman or some video games or whatever. So with my back, turns out I might have a bulging disc on my spine, like the piece in the spine in between. But I'm young enough to where I might be able to just exercise differently and stretch. I don't, as much as I work out, I don't stretch. I don't know why. I just never got into the habit of stretching. It's not something we did as kids when we would work out. So it's just something that I never got into the habit of doing. But I went to a doctor. I went and got an X-ray. All of this done since the last time we spoke. And again, this is the reason why there was no episode last week. I went and I did all the things that I had to do. And it's scary. Like, I know an X-ray isn't anything crazy. And I live in Colorado, so you're supposed to get more radiation than usual or something. I don't know. The whole country is a social experiment, much like a vault. And I got the X-ray and I went to go to a physical therapist because they were going to show me exercises I can do. And that'll help me, hopefully help heal me. And I even asked, I was like, hey, what's the chances of me having arthritis in my spine? I've always done physical labor. I've always been, you know, somewhat active, even when I was heavy, like I was always doing something active. And the physical therapist looks at me and goes, well, it's one of those things that it just seems like once you hit about 29 or 30, most of the population just has arthritis in their spine. A little bit of it. Cool. Great. Fine. I'm slowly becoming more and more decrepit. Now, if it was a lot, it's different. If I was in an insane amount of pain, so we stretch, right? And this took a lot of the pain away, like just basic stretches. And when I'm telling her how I work out and what I do for work, just my job alone. I mean, today I'm at 12,521 steps. I get 10,000 steps just about every day. I would wager to bet I'm getting, if you don't count weekends, I'm going to wager I'm getting probably 60,000 steps a week. I would, like, if I looked at my, on my app, if I looked at it and it said I was getting 70,000 steps a week, I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever. 10,000 is a lot. It's also not, it's like the baseline of being a lot. So it isn't. One of my favorite writer, David Sedaris, apparently has burnt out Fitbits or has like hit the record of how many steps you can get in a day. That's just his thing, is to walk. But I should be okay. Like, I don't want to jinx myself or anything, but my back should be better. I feel better just from the few stretches we did. And last night I wanted to, but you ever go to the bathroom and lock the door and then realize the door isn't shut all the way? And then when you leave the bathroom, you shut the door the whole way. And then you have to dismantle the entire doorknob to get back into the bathroom and fix it. And it takes you 40 minutes. And you wanted to take that 40 minutes to read a couple of comic books and go to bed on it at a certain time. Yeah, that's never happened to me before until last night. And I didn't get to do my stretches because I just wanted to go to bed. I was tired. But I'm getting better. It shouldn't impact the episode flow. It shouldn't. Keyword there, should not. I would like to do this again next week, and I'd hope you join me. This is episode 365, which means if you listen to one episode a day for a year, you would listen to the entire show in a year. It's actually pretty cool. I didn't realize that this was that number until I got to this point. Hey guys, I love you very much. Thank you for being here. Intro music by the one and only Shane Ivers. You can get all of his free heaters at silvermansounds.com/free music. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking it out. I hope to see you soon. Link in the description to the Patreon, to the Discord. Shout out to the Patreon real quick. The Redbubble if you want to get a little bit of merch. I love you guys. I hope to be seeing you real soon. I love you very much. Be good to one another. Stretch. If you're not going to work out, stretch. Do a plank. Think about your health. Think about your mom. Yeah, how do you think she feels? She's older than you. All right. I love you. I'll see you soon. Bye, everybody.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.